sustained so many injuries last year that we don't really have enough time here to list them, and still won Defensive Player of the Year. How did that happen?
Well, thank you. I have a very good training staff, and I have great teammates. That's what it all comes down to.
Lots of massages in the growing area.
Okay, now, wait, you're the one who knows about injury recovery, too, unfortunately. I'm going to let that slide right by live television.
And here we go. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
It's Thursday here. We're Dave and Buster's. I'm Adam Wexler, sitting in for Fred Fowler. Couldn't be happier to be doing radio. Love it. A.J. Hoffman here, as always, from 4 to 7 here on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz, and we're off and running because J.J. always provides us with such great material without even doing anything.
What's funny is that thing that we heard to open up the show, talking about massaging J.J.'s groin, like 80% of Texans fans... Dude, Texans fans are really jealous now that that girl got to touch his groin, and they want to apply.
Insinuated.
Right, right.
That
or insinuated that she did.
Because clearly nobody has. JJ is untouched. Life, okay. Life of celibacy. It's all football, all iron pumping, all focus.
I'm pretty sure that's false.
Well, no, come on, AJ.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's a little off season, but not enough for him to stray from the formula that's made
true.
Him a three-time defensive player of the year.
He's a no-frills kind of guy.
Right.
And maybe vagina is considered a frill to someone like J.J.
Watt. I would consider that he considers it a frill.
Right. Like, to normal people, that's a necessity.
Well, looking at his at the shoes that we'll all get to see tomorrow.
Right.
Frills are something he probably doesn't consider a big part of his life.
Have you seen the shoes?
I've seen the shoes.
What are your initial thoughts?
I wanted to immediately get a picture of Steph Curry's shoes and see
compare
how different they were, because they didn't seem to be all that different.
I know. Now, here's the thing. Steph Curry is, in this town at least, not well received.
That is how he should be viewed, yes.
So everyone, of course, those shoes came out and everyone clowned him. Everyone punked him out. Do you think...
It got clowned on the ESPYs last night, briefly.
Do you think anyone will make fun of J.J. Watt's shoes?
In this town?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Not a lot, but yes.
Okay.
But honestly...
Do you think anyone not sitting right here in this circle will make fun of J.J. Watt's shoes?
We're open for that.
Okay. Well, either way, you're right. He is a no-frills guy.
But are we... Now, it really seemed to me that whole thing... That was in advance of the ESPYs last night. The only... Semi-sports related activity going on outside of NBA Summer League. Another day off for baseball today, of course, the last couple of
and
days.
And tomorrow.
Off. Well, tomorrow's Friday. They play ball Friday.
Do they?
Yeah, every
okay.
Friday all season long, man.
Okay, good.
The Astros are in Seattle.
Okay.
The next great Astro is in New Orleans tonight to start a four-game series with the Zephyrs. Then maybe soon after, he'll be an Astro. Alex Bregman at some point.
Are you excited about that guy?
Only because... They've gone 89 games into the season, and they trot out 215 hitters for the bottom four spots every day. I don't know how they're doing it. They get the hits at the right time, or they're playing the good opponent to beat each time, or they're getting just enough pitching.
Oh, it's miraculous.
Their offense, you cannot look at their box scores. You cannot look at their season stats and think, oh,
that's
playoffs,
a winning team.
Man.
Yeah.
It's the best team in the league 2 months running. Since the end of the first month of the season where they were terrible, the last 2 months, nobody in the American League is better than the Astros. 2 months out of a six-month season, that's the best team.
And if
With 215 from Gattis and 202 from Gomez and 213 or whatever from Castro every single day.
And if I said, Adam, are the Astros a good hitting team? Your answer would be?
No.
If I said, Adam, do the Astros have good starting pitching? You'd say...
They have had good starting pitching for about the most of that two-month period.
But do you think they have good starting pitching?
No.
Okay. And honestly, I looked at the team last year, and you could have said the same thing.
Exactly.
I mean, it was mind-blowing that they were winning games because they had one good pitcher last year. Well, maybe one and a half. McCullers was good for about half the season. And, I mean, they had two good hitters on that team.
But that's almost everything else. is at the top. Nobody ever talks about it anymore. Defense. They play
very good
defensively. I'm not getting into the shift talk at 4:04 for a 3-hour show where we're only 4 minutes in because it's not. I'm telling you, it works, and that's we're leaving it right there. But their bullpen was really good last year for about 4.5 months, and they were unbelievably bad to close the season. They've kind of flipped it where they haven't had that huge downturn. Gregerson had his issues. Harris keeps getting saves but doesn't look quite the same, and then had a great outing in the All-Star game briefly. But their bullpen has been nails. If you go through 2.5 hours of a baseball game and you've outplayed the other team, but you can't play the last 5 minutes better than them, you lose because of it, those are killers. And they haven't, outside of that about 10-game stretch for Gregerson, their bullpen's been awesome.
Well, I think what's miraculous is if you go and count the Astros' blown saves this year and then count the number of times that they've blown a save and then won that game anyway.
I think they're 4.
That's got to be a record.
Yeah.
I mean,
because Gregerson would always blow the save, but he would rarely allow the other team to go ahead.
Yeah.
If you're up by 3, well, he's going to give up 3.
Right.
But not 4. And
yeah.
They go to extra innings, a lot of them, sometimes, and they'd end up winning.
And the other night against Oakland,
they did lose the lead.
They lose the lead. They're down by 3 runs now in the bottom of the ninth, and they win. I mean, it was unbelievable.
And how fast they won that game. Harris and Feliz couldn't get anybody out. They gave up the 5 spot in the ninth inning. And then if you, like, went to get a soda pop in between innings, you missed the whole comeback.
More than likely, you just said, like, if you're watching that on television, you're an Astro fan, you're disgusted, and you turn off the TV, and you just say, you know what, these guys are a-holes. And then you get that alert on your phone, and you're like, what, they won?
How?
No.
How is it already over? I just turned it off.
That was very quick.
But, yeah, they'll be in Seattle. They'll be back home next week, and we'll see it. I do think this team is going to continue doing what they're doing. Obviously, we got a lot of show to get to, so I'm sure we will get into that somewhat.
I like this time of year where there's not really sports to talk about, because then when people who hate the kind of radio that I do complain and say to talk about sports, I can just say, what sports do you want me to talk about? And they don't really have anything for it. You know, otherwise they'll say, oh, talk Astros, talk Rockets, talk Tex. But this is the kind of time of year where I can talk about whatever I want and no one can really complain. Because I did this on Monday. Someone complained and told me to talk sports, and I read one WNBA box score, and that shut them up for a while because that was the only sport that was happening. Now, you, on the other hand, in your time as a sports radio host, you guys did a pretty sportsy show. You were a traditional sports radio host. Are you pissed that this is the time of year we ask you to fill in?
But this is the time. It's always like this. The good news is you guys will ask whenever. This just happens to be, as I said before the show, probably the second worst day. But yesterday was really
the worst. Yesterday was the worst.
And like I said, I can't believe that baseball thought it was a good idea to take another day off. Last year or the year before, maybe it was even the year before that, they took Thursday games away. Nobody comes back, and it's just enough. I mean, it's baseball. They stand in the field for 3 hours, field a few balls, bat a few times, or worse, they're a DH, or they pitch every fifth day. They don't need that many days off. We need them at this time of year.
When you're talking about Bregman and adding another bat, I'm curious if you're which camp you're in, because I always think prospects, until they get to the major league level and do something, are much more valuable as trade chips than they are as anything else. Are you in the camp of, if you could get a good established hitter or a good established arm for a guy like Bregman, would you do that? Or do you think that this guy is Correa 2.0?
I wouldn't categorize them all the same way, but to give you a perfect hypothetical, was having that conversation just the other day, if Chris Sale was in the mix.
That's the name that I consider most likely.
Realistically looking to make a deal, and they picked up the phone and called the Astros. Of course, the first thing they're going to ask for when it comes to the prospects, they're going to ask for Bregman, and when the Astros say no, they're going to hang up. And I think that's exactly how it would go if I were running the Astros, and I think the Astros would actually play it the same way. Sale is a proven commodity. He is one of the 4 or 5 best pitchers in the AL, has been for a few years, likely to stay that way for the next few years at the very least.
Under team control at cheap money?
Cheaper.
Right. Well, cheap for considering what he is.
Considering what he is, for sure. You're heading into that period where you're going to have to start paying some of these guys. And luckily, Correa's at a young age, and it's, you know, you've got a good deal with him. Same with Altuve, because he signed that deal, which is unbelievably team-friendly for a guy who's going to finish in the top three, if not the top one, for MVP. But some of the other guys are going to have to start making more money. How much money is this team really willing to spend? But it's the type of move, it's a Randy Johnson move. Astros of 98. The Astros of 98 were going to the playoffs and had a chance to make the World Series without Randy Johnson. And that's what I think this team does. You add Chris Sale like they added Randy Johnson, then it's a whole new makeup. Then they're the team to beat. Then they're the best team in the AL. And I really think that's what they would ascend to if he's your new number one. And yet I'm still going to sit here and say I think the Astros would actually say no to a deal that involves pushing Alex Bregman into somebody else's uniform.
I think that's crazy.
And I think that's how they would play it, and I'm in that camp. But it is because I view him differently. Last year, all the prospects they moved, clearly they didn't get any player of Sale's caliber.
Right.
But I was completely unconcerned. And these were still their top-level guys. Brett Phillips was a top-level guy. Vince Velasquez was a highly thought-of guy. Some injury history brought his prospect and high ceiling down a notch, but had no issue with them moving any of those guys. That's just kind of what you do. Why not take the best chance when you have a really good team? And that's what they did.
I guess my point is with these prospects, for instance, most people coming into the season had A.J. Reed as the top Astros prospect, even ahead of Bregman. They've brought him up, and now, I mean, maybe A.J. Reed, and who knows what A.J. Reed's MLB career is going to look like.
Well, between...
But now we're seeing warts.
You, A.J., and I'm an A.J.
Right.
He's A.J., the three of us have two major league homers?
Something like that.
And between the three of us, we're hitting about 125.
Something like that. And no, and don't you think that if A.J. Reed was still tearing up AAA, his value would be greater?
There's no question about it. Him coming up and doing this has hurt his value. But to me, it doesn't make him any less of a prospect. Totally fine with the belief around the league that his value is going down, because it is. But I don't think any less of him as a major league player.
But if you could trade A.J. Reed for Chris Sale, you'd do it instantly?
I would be Kramer accepting the deal with the Marlboro people and the Coffee Burn people.
Now, what if Alex Bregman comes up next week, you see 2 weeks of him, he hits 125, and then the White Sox call and say, hey, we'll give you Sale for Bregman. Does it change your opinion?
It wouldn't change my opinion. I can't speak for the Astros in that regard.
Okay.
But he can't miss is a silly sports term. But I would absolutely use it on him. He's
really?
Can't miss.
Yeah, okay. All I'll say is there was a time when Astros fans thought that George Springer was the next Mike Trout. And George Springer's a pretty good player now. He's having the best year of his career.
Yep.
And, by the way, he's not young.
Well, they waited too long to bring him up.
Right. But he's never going to be Mike Trout. That's not what he is.
No, but Mike Trout's the best outfielder in baseball, and he's the 12th, 10th, 11th best?
This year.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
It's a pretty good guy to keep.
Okay. But like you said, Chris Sale's what, the third, fourth best
right.
pitcher in baseball?
Right.
That's a pretty good guy to have, too.
No doubt.
All right, we'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
That's right. The Blitz is Dave and Buster's over on Richmond today. I'm Adam Wexler sitting in for Fred Fowler. He's AJ Hoffman. You can follow the show on Twitter at Degenerates97.5. Like us on Facebook. That means find us at The Blitz 97.5. Streamable on ESPN97.5.com. Or, of course, the ESPN radio app. And, of course, podcasts of the programming all across the station at podcastarena.com. Plenty of other things for us to jump in on aside from the Astros, who won't be on the field again until tomorrow. Bregman in the lineup tonight for the Fresno Grizzlies in New Orleans. He said he had to leave quite a few tickets as he's playing back in Louisiana for the first time since leaving LSU as the Astros' top draft pick last season. I would suspect he will be with the Astros very soon, but we'll get back to that, I'm sure, a little later in the show. We were perusing our own upcoming topics for the show as we looked across each other's laptops to see what kind of stories we had on the way for our listeners here. At some point, might a mention of the old guy, Phil Mickelson, playing some awesome golf on a Thursday, which isn't all that out of the ordinary. Let's see where he is on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but way out front of the Open. Guy's 8 under.
Why is it just called the Open now? What changed?
Because they want to confuse us Americans.
It used to be the British Open, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now...
it's the Open Championship, I think.
Is it because they Brexited that now it's the Open?
You know, I think I saw that Serena winning Wimbledon, the prize money went down $400,000, $300,000, $400,000 because of whatever it is that Brexit means. I've pride myself on having limited knowledge of that.
I feel my wife and I had a discussion about this. And Barry and I talked about it on Monday about the equal pay for equal work when it comes to sports and women. And we talked about the highest rated WNBA game ever in history had, I want to say, 540,000 viewers. And it was on ABC. And it was the game one of the 2015 WNBA Finals.
Between? Go ahead.
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
But... last week, there was an episode, a 3 a.m. episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that aired on Nick at Night that had 570,000 viewers. So it was
now
more,
in the television guide that we look at, after it says the title of the show, and then maybe in italics, it'll have the name of the actual episode. And then a parenthesis usually has a year that it originally aired. I mean, think how long ago that... episode.
I mean, that's been 25 years probably, or no, maybe not that long. Yeah, maybe it has been 25 years. I mean, that's an early 90s show.
And so, outrated it.
Outrated it.
At 3 in the morning.
Yes, on Nick at Night.
There's only, I mean, equal pay, like but, what the U.S. women's soccer team, the arguments there, it's usually a little bit better in the comparison that they're using because it is more apples and apples. Because they're comparing themselves to the men's national soccer team. But when the WNBA... is subsidized by the NBA and has the ratings that you're suggesting
and
has
no
the audience
money.
that we know we've seen here in Houston and in other cities. It's just, don't compare the NBA to the WNBA. Don't compare the WNBA to much of anything other than some of the lowest levels of men's pro basketball in the States, those leagues that have folded in the past.
But I think that women's tennis, I would argue, is more popular than men's tennis. I don't know. I haven't seen the ratings exactly. But I feel like people talk about women's tennis more than they talk about men's tennis. I feel like the stars of women's tennis, at least the biggest star of women's tennis, is a bigger star than anyone in men's tennis.
I would say almost certainly. She also is American, and there's squat from an American standpoint on the men's side and hasn't been for years. And I think that's a huge, I mean,
do they make,
I don't want to
take
make
similar
any...
money? Like, does Serena make as much money as Andy Murray made?
Not from tennis winnings, no.
Really?
Absolutely not.
See, that's where I think it's unfair. I'd have to look at the TV ratings, but I feel like if you're out drawing on television, you should make more money.
Yeah, that's another good example of if women's tennis continue to try to make that fight, and they did, and there's too many old, dumb, stubborn men involved that helped prevent it. And I can't even remember who the last one was that came out with those ridiculous comments about the women's field and just... that's what they're up against. That's what they've always been up against. But the WNBA just doesn't really fit in that argument at all.
See, I'm a feminist. I'm a feminist, Adam. I'm fighting for women's rights.
Well, they need you, man.
Yeah.
You're a strong voice.
They do.
I'm sure things will happen now.
Speaking
they
of,
know you're on their side.
Speaking of women, and I found this story somewhat fascinating. And I do believe that women are equal in most ways, but sometimes they're dumb. Sometimes men are dumb, too.
For sure.
But in the instance of this story, these women were really, really dumb. Three women left for what they thought would be an easy float down the Muskegon River on Tuesday afternoon. But they ended up spending the night on the riverbank, scared and yelling for help. The women, who were all in their 20s, had never been tubing before. Are you a big tuber?
As a younger man.
I go to the hill country every year and go tubing and drink large amounts of beer,
yes.
And I enjoy it.
That's what real people do. Me and my family, I'm a Tubing to me is sadly the lazy river of whatever resort we're at for our family vacation.
Well,
a little different.
Funny you mention a lazy river, because you understand that a lazy river where you get in, you can just lay around in the tube and eventually
you'll be right back.
It'll bring you right back where you started.
Love it.
I'm almost certain. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not an expert on rivers or geography or anything like that, but can you think of a river in the world where you get in and it just goes in a circle and takes you right back to where you were?
The earth didn't produce very many of those.
I think so. Well, these women didn't have that same understanding of rivers that we do. They bought some tubes and they headed to a popular launch site at Maple Island Road Bridge. And someone at the bridge informed them that the river goes in a circle, and if they put in right here at the bridge, they would eventually come right back to their car.
Sounds good. Thanks for the insight.
And
good tip.
These women didn't get a second source on that. They trusted a stranger, and about 6 hours later, darkness was closing in. Couldn't find their car anywhere, shockingly. So they decided to get out on the riverbank, where they ended up spending the night. They said they hugged a tree all night, yelling for help.
Tree huggers.
And they added that the stretch of river they were on is very isolated. So there's no one around for miles.
Now, what's the name of this movie you're talking about? Clearly, this is just a feature film, right?
There's no pig squealing or anything like that that happens that I know of, at least that this story reports. About noon on Wednesday, 20 hours after they got in the water, a fisherman heard their cries for help and called 911. The women did not have a phone with them. The firefighters launched a jet propulsion river rescue boat and found the women rather quickly. Other than a few bug bites and scratches, the women were fine. He estimated that they had traveled roughly 3 miles. In their words, they were never going tubing again. No one reported the women missing, so they could have been gone forever, and no one would have cared, because these women are clearly idiots. But they did offer this advice: before heading out on adventure, tell someone where you're going and what time you plan to return.
And that's the lesson.
How about don't think that a river runs in a circle, because that's really stupid to think.
So this guy that told him that surely has told others who all in the past had laughed in his face. Okay. But not this trio.
I feel like that's something that a rapist or a murderer would tell these women, because he's got a bunch of toothless redneck friends down the river who are going to catch these women, and it's going to be a terrifying experience for them. No, this guy is just likes to F with people, and these women were dumb enough to let it happen. So there we go. We start.
So you gave us Muskegon.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Michigan.
Okay. Didn't know. I knew it was up. I didn't know if it was Michigan or Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Or Ohio.
Michigan it is. So thoughts and prayers to those ladies in their tubing
20 hours?
Careers. 20 hours.
20-hour, 3-mile tubing trip. A couple of bug bites.
Big deal.
That's what it sounds like.
But they stayed out all night screaming their heads off.
After, because they never thought they were going to be found, not because of the bug bites.
What do you scream at that point? If you're holding on to a tree and you got out of the river, if you're out of the river, why are you still holding on to a tree?
Well, if they went 20 hours, at what point do you think they started thinking, we're not getting back?
Well, they
hours in?
They got out of the river after 6 hours.
Okay.
They spent the next 14 hours on the bank screaming.
How about using their feet?
That's what I was thinking. If I were in that situation, I would say, you know what? If I walk along the riverbank back the direction I came, eventually I'll get back to my car. But again, these women were not the brightest, I'm afraid, Adam.
Happens.
It happens. All right, you know what else happens? Sometimes your electricity bill goes up because you have crappy windows in your house. And I hate to see that happen to people. I don't think it should happen to anyone, because I think your money is important. It's important to be cool at night. No one wants to have sweaty sheets when they wake up. So save yourself some air conditioning. Save yourself some money with Window World. Very simple. Energy bills are going up every day. You're throwing money out the window unless you have energy-efficient replacement windows from Window World. You can get a premium-quality double-hung, double-pane window for just $189. Window World earned the Good Housekeeping Seal and is the number one replacement window company in America. You can get a free in-home estimate. Call 713-439-1172. Let them show you what they can do for you. And eventually, these windows are going to pay for themselves. Go to windowworldhouston.com. Doors and siding are also available. It's Window World, simply the best for less.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everything is, everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify.
This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Adam Wexler sitting in for Fred Fowler this Thursday afternoon here on ESPN 97.5. So hanging out with A.J. Hoffman, talking a little non-sports on the Thursday before they get it all started again, the second part of the Major League Baseball season. I actually explained this to my kids the other day, saying, yeah, you know, all those years I did radio, and, you know, there's little things I have about how people talk about sports and this, that, and the other, totally meaningless, but I don't know why they kind of bother me, so I try to say it a certain way. It bothered me when people would say, well, the second half of the season gets started on Friday for the Astros. Half is an exact term. They've already played 89 games.
That's true. So technically they're in the second half already.
Exactly. So it's just the second part of the season, as I referenced earlier.
Okay.
But yes, that's the kind of things I bore my kids with when we're in the car on a family vacation, which we were on for about 9 days.
Where'd you go?
We flew out to Raleigh. And if I told you we went out there, then there's no family out there, and we're in the car driving all over the place, where do you think we went? We've got an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old. 11-year-old daughter, 7-year-old son.
I couldn't even begin to guess.
We went to Colonial Williamsburg. That's how I learned about America. Went to the house of one of our former presidents, Thomas Jefferson, Monticello. My third trip there during my 40-plus years. One was well more than enough, and now I've been there 3 times.
Why did you go there again?
It's where she lined us up on vacation. She does all the planning.
The wife?
I just go. I stopped by Duke University, a little mini tour of the campus, countless museums.
This seems like a strange vacation. You have no say in what's going to happen on your vacation.
The last 2 nights would have been one night, but when the first night got rained out, we went back the next night to catch a couple of minor league baseball games. Went to see the Durham Bulls for Friday and Saturday night. That was that ended our vacation. We flew back.
Have you considered maybe taking away that responsibility from her, the vacation planning responsibility?
Well, we went to Disney, whichever one's in Florida, Land World, the year before. World.
Okay. You had no planning in that?
I don't know.
Did you enjoy that?
I was great. I wish
you
the kids...
You say that, but I mean, did you really enjoy it?
It would have been greater if the kids would have stopped saying no to all the rides they should be riding, but they're not the most adventurous and brave souls yet. I wish they were. So that was a little
troubling. Well, probably because you send them on vacations to former presidents' homes.
Well, I'm like, look, this is what we could be doing. You could be walking for hours and looking at this stuff. That it's summer. They even said, it's summer. I thought we weren't supposed to be learning. They even said that, and we're still doing it. But
do you the kids off to the side and like kind of turn them against mom?
Believe me, it was 1-on-3 the whole time. She's like, why do you think they do this? Because you do this. And I'm like, well, everybody should be like me. She's like, you can't complain, because if you do, they will. I'm like, well, I can't keep them from doing it. But no, it was a good time. It's good to get away. It was really the vacation for me is just getting away. And I used to never think that. I used to hate getting away from this. I don't want to miss anything. And every year it's the same. We take the vacation at the same time.
Yeah.
Right when the Rockets are going to make all their moves. I'm always on vacation.
Yeah, I struggle going on vacation because I worry that whoever's filling in for me is screwing up my show. And then inevitably when I get back and I get that ratings book, I'm responsible for it.
Of course you are.
Not the person who filled in for a week.
That's why the long radio vacations are really tough to absorb.
Yeah.
Because you never can tell.
A couple things from Twitter. One is from Titan Clint, who says that he misses you and Matt Jackson in the morning. All 790 fool Lance Zierlein has done is screw up sports talk. So he's an Adam Wexler fan.
He's, if you, some other time when you have the time and have nothing better to do, I'm sure you could glance over his timeline and you'll see countless messages that read similarly.
He said that the same thing to me many times. He also wants people to adopt animals, especially those with special needs or older dogs. So he's like the Bob Barker of sports radio listener. I like
have
that.
Have your pets spayed and neutered. I never thought that would come up on today's show.
Yeah.
You never can tell.
You never can tell.
Like, Drew Carey's a terrible host, right?
I think he's horrible.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And nobody watches, right?
I don't watch anymore. I used to love to watch game shows because when I was growing up, I was pretty certain that I was going to have one of two jobs in this world. I was either going to be a game show host or I was going to be on Saturday Night Live. I was certain it was one of those two things was my path.
Was there an era of Saturday Night Live you think you would have fit on that cast best? Because I'm trying to figure out who would you have been. Would you have been I'm not bringing you down here. But, you know, were you the Anthony Michael Hall, Robert Downey Jr. era? Were you Jay Moore, Adam Sandler? I'm going to try to hit the whole spectrum of strong players to less strong players.
Well,
are you a Daryl Hammond?
Here's
you...
what I'll say. When I was the age where I was really starting to appreciate Saturday Night Live, and I've always loved Saturday Night Live, and I went back and I've watched all the old episodes and things like that. Like the Chevy Chase, Bill Murray eras and stuff, you know, Eddie Murphy, which those guys are the best, by the way. But I loved Chris Farley. And that Chris Farley and Adam Sandler was in that same range. I mean, Mike Myers and David Spade and all those guys were on at the same time. And I always thought that by the time I was 20, that's about when I would be ready to be on Saturday, maybe 21.
You probably would have had your first audition with them. Failed, of course, but
right.
Then the next two or three times you'd
right.
be in.
And then the more I think about it, I realize that around the time I was 21, 22 years old, that's when Saturday Night Live fell into the crapper. And, like, now, looking back, I can say pretty much with 100% certainty that it's because I didn't join the cast of Saturday Night Live. That's why it failed. Now it's made a comeback, I guess. People watch it again. My dad watches. I don't know if a lot of people watch it. But
I couldn't even guess at what kind of, like, here's our audience. I have no idea what that answer is.
You never watch?
I mean, I watch every now and then, and just I don't make an appointment watching.
No, it used to be such a big deal Saturday Night Live. Now it's not, but I was pretty sure that. But then I said maybe being a game show host would be better for me. And my favorite game shows were I liked The Price is Right, obviously, but Bob Barker is fantastic. He was a legend. I liked Family Feud.
I knew you'd say that, and you should.
And I can't even remember what the name of the other one is, where it's no whammies, stop.
Press Your Luck,
Press
bro.
Your Luck, thank you. I loved those game shows the most.
Well, there's no knowledge required in Press Your Luck. That's
right.
that's a dummies game show, and I'm not, no offense. That's what, you don't need to know anything. Price is Right, if you're a huge grocery shopper, you're golden.
Yeah.
Because you got to know what costs more, the
right.
canned peas or the
over.
Bag of rice. You know, very important. And then Family Feud is, that's probably more than anything.
Yeah.
Just have some common knowledge and you're fine. But if you don't, forget it. You're going to be the person that can't answer the questions in 15 seconds. It's going to be Buzzer City. Or you're going to say pass 3 times out of 5.
Family Feud has gone through its ups and downs of hosts.
And right now it's up or down.
It's not up.
See, I think Steve Harvey is could be a fine host for that show. But they're so much more interested in making the people look stupid.
Yeah.
That the categories and the answers for those categories are abysmal.
And Celebrity Family Feud is the worst thing ever. The worst. I'm against that wholly.
Well, every show that gets created, when they run out of ideas in the room where they're creating shows, let's just get celebrities to do it.
Yeah.
And then they...
I don't like that.
And that's on TV next.
Frobius wants to know if you caught any cool Pokemon on your trip.
4:41. I think I was guessing about 25 minutes in would be our first Pokemon mention.
Are you? Is it downloaded on your
phone?
It
is not, and I obviously I never had it, but thinking about coming on here today, the last couple of days, I thought, I'm sure it's going to come up. I'll put it on my phone. I'll dabble a little bit. I'll see what it's all about. And then I completely changed my tune. I thought, if they're going to make me do it, I might as well just do it here on the show for the first time and figure out why. Because there's no winning.
Your kids are not interested in this?
No, they just do other mindless stuff on the phones and tablets.
Do they play like Minecraft or something?
They watch YouTube videos. They watch some of those YouTube channels with kids doing weird stuff, you know, just weird stuff.
Okay.
Nothing important.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm sure this is one of the things I won't ever understand.
I don't understand,
the lure. I will understand the game, but I will not understand the... And we're going to hear nothing. Like, obviously, working over Channel 2 as I do now, this is what's going to be overrun is how many people are putting themselves in bad spots, accidents, injuries, all sorts of stuff, because this is just one more thing to get you distracted and do dumb stuff when you should be paying attention to whatever it is you're doing, specifically driving.
Yeah, it seems very dangerous.
And we'll have countless stories about it.
My wife and kids have been, they are enjoying this. I don't have it on my phone. I'm not really interested in it. It seems stupid to me because there's no reward for it.
That's what, like, you win by doing what?
No. Well, what John
you
will
can
say is,
accumulate points.
I say, what's the goal of it? And he says, to catch them all.
There's no such thing.
I'm with you on that. And then my wife yesterday went out and caught, John, is there something called like a, I'll have to ask her what it is. I'll ask you on the other side. She caught what she said was the most powerful Pokemon she had found. And she was super excited. The kids were super excited. And then somehow today it vanished out of her queue of captured Pokemon. And she blamed the kids. The kids blamed her. It was an ugly scene. A family feud, if you will.
Sounds it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Everyone says this is a great way for people to spend time with their kids, but it's causing violent outbreaks in my family. But apparently this was a really good Pokemon, so it was worth it. But, yeah, I, like you, have very little interest in it.
But if you do, please call. Let's get the number out there. Let's get some Pokemon chatter.
No, Jong plays all the Pokemon we need around.
Are there Pokemon around the office? Have they been captured over the studios?
Jong said he found one in the parking lot.
Okay.
What was the Pokemon you found, Jong?
Man, I can't even remember. It was one of the weaker ones.
Was it a Pidgey?
It might have been. That or a Rattata.
Okay. Well, I'm going to find out what my wife found. I'm going to ask you if you have one and if it's very valuable. There was a Pikachu in my house yesterday, and this caused great excitement around the Hoffman household. So, but I
go ahead and keep that for a drop because it sounds so ridiculous.
I thought that was, this is how foolish I am, I thought that was the most valuable character. Apparently, it's very weak compared to some of the other things you can find. So I don't know anything about it. All right. Well, we've got plenty of other stuff to talk about. You had a great idea, I think. John, we're going to play a game with you when we come back called Whose Laptop Is the Headline On? And we'll see if you can guess, John. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave & Buster's on Richmond, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Well, actually, it's just Adam Wexler right now. A.J. is roaming around Dave & Buster's looking for more things to capture with his Pokemon app. He's all fired up. He's out in the parking lot, actually, so he'll be back here soon, I imagine, with a whole host of stories about Pokemon.
I caught one.
Oh, here he is.
Hey, I caught one. I did text my wife and find out what the Pokemon was that she captured. And I will say, she came in last night and was super excited about this. Jong, have you...
This is the missus. Super
this
excited.
This is my wife, and she's been playing with the kids fairly actively. Have you heard of a Magmar, Jong?
Yes, I have.
Is that a powerful Pokemon?
Yeah, it's decent.
It's the best one she had. It was 600 something points, she said.
Oh yeah, that's pretty high.
Yeah, she said like it's more than twice as high as the next best Pokemon she had captured.
Good for her.
Well, no, not good for her because she lost
it's
it.
Gone.
Oh, that's right.
She lost it somehow. So, I told her I would write a letter to the Pokemon people and say, hey, I caught this thing and it's gone. You owe me a Magmar. But apparently that's not how it works.
Write a letter, put a stamp on it.
That's
put it
what
in
I would
mail.
Do.
I'm sure it would be very well received.
That's what I would do. But what do I know? Apparently I'm not understanding in how these things should work. Pokemon Go almost killed its first victim. A 28-year-old driver was not seriously injured, but did leave his car crumpled after he slammed into a tree in upstate New York. He told police that he was distracted playing Pokemon Go at the time of the crash. The driver suffered a broken ankle and cuts to his legs. He was driving his younger brother's car, and he's expected to be cited in connection with the one-car accident. Carrie's mother wrote that her son will not answer a phone call or text while driving, but when he saw a special Pokemon on his app, he looked down for a minute and woke up in an ambulance. The motorist admitted to actively playing the Pokemon Go game while driving and said that he ran off the roadway and into a tree. So, once again, don't Pokemon and drive.
So, AJ will take a look at the picture that's up on my screen here.
This is a travesty. What happened to that young lady?
Girl's got some cuts on her face. She's got a neck brace on. Clearly, she's in the hospital wearing a hospital gown. Headline reads, Mom says teenage daughter hit by car in Tarentum, Pennsylvania, after playing Pokemon Go. Like I said, these are going to be the stories you see on the news for many, many days, probably weeks and months to come, all across the country. A student was struck about 5:20 in the p.m. She remained hospitalized Wednesday with a collarbone injury, foot injury, several cuts and bruises. Said the accident happened when her daughter, the mother said her daughter had just finished playing the game, was attempting to cross the street. She had told her mom, I heard about this Pokemon Go and I want to play it. Give me your phone. Mother was reluctant, but gave the phone to her daughter. Less than 30 minutes later, she got this phone call that sent her into a panic when she heard she was struck and hit by a car. The Pokemon game took her across a major highway at 5 o'clock in the evening, which is rush hour. No game is worth a child's life, the mother said.
Well, luckily, her child didn't die. Pokemon's worth a child being injured, but not dying. We can all agree on that.
So the game on the phone took her to a major highway, which she tried to cross because she was playing a game on her phone that told her to do it. Is there a hypnotist that comes out of your phone?
I'm pretty certain the game doesn't say, hey, cross the highway if you want to catch this Pokemon.
Well, if that's where the Pokemon is, that's where you go. You're not going to catch him by watching.
Yeah, but
somebody else is going to get him.
This is what I said. Remember when Harambe, rest in peace Harambe, was violently murdered at the hands of the Cincinnati Zoo? And I said there's a common sense rule. Zoos are not designed to keep people out. They're designed to keep the animals in. Because people assume that human beings who are a higher form of intelligence have enough sense not to go in. And they're like, oh, they should sue the zoo. It shouldn't be that easy to get in. No. That's like saying they should sue Pokemon Go. It shouldn't be that easy to just, like, where it shows you to cross the I-10 and try to go catch a Pokemon in rush hour. No, it's just sometimes it takes common sense, and you have to say, you know what, this is a dumb thing to do, and so, don't do it.
So are we going to see the cities and the counties all across our country add to their video boards on the streets and highways of our nation where currently it says don't text and drive, or the text can wait, focus on the road? Will Pokemon Go make its way onto the billboards? Don't come looking for Pokemon here.
I think it should.
This is where we drive.
This is where we drive. This is not a Pokemon friendly spot. Our highways are not Pokemon friendly.
It's our understanding that a local football stadium was opened up for Pokemon players recently.
Kyle Field, in fact, the hallowed grounds of Kyle Field, where they have banners for several fake championships, and now they can add the Pokemon catching championship. That's a brilliant thing for them.
Pokemon. Popular, and now popular again.
Yes. What does that say?
More than 1,000 show up to Kyle Field to catch Pokemon.
1,000 people.
It was as wild as it sounds, of course.
Well, that makes sense.
Let's bump that number up to 1,600, as the story goes.
Hey, Jung, I want to play a game with you.
Can we play at 5?
Oh, okay. Is it time to go to break right now?
Yeah, about to.
Okay. Then, yeah, that's what we'll call a radio tease. And at 5 o'clock, John, we'll play a game. And I'm going to bet you do very well at this game. You've known me for a long time.
Are you talking to me? I would do well?
Yeah, I think you'll do well.
I'm going to kill it at this game. This is going to be 100%.
100%?
Yes.
I think anything less than 100%, and I'm going to be a little disappointed in you, John. But we'll see how you do. We are at Dave & Buster's here on Richmond. Don't go to the other Dave & Buster's. That's a crappy Dave & Buster's. We're here for the Blitz Summer Poker Classic tonight. We're playing at Dave & Buster's on Richmond, bringing back Big Stack Poker League as a tournament director. You can sign in for available seats beginning at 5 p.m., which is 4 minutes from now. We'll shuffle up and deal at 7:15 to find the top 25 who will advance to the finale next week for a chance to win the grand prize, which is like a 55-inch HD TV and $500 cash. So imagine how many Pokemon you could catch, how many you could lure with $500. I don't know if you can even use money to lure them, but you probably can do something. Maybe you've got a crappy Windows phone and you haven't been able to play Pokemon. You need that iPhone. Maybe then you can do it. All right. We're at Dave & Buster's. We'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 975.